Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking today about an issue that I believe should be understood by every listener. Our hope is in God, not in government. What do you do, ladies and gentlemen, when government is going awry? When government, civil government, is involved in prosecuting good and persecuting good and protecting evil? That's what we see taking place today. And yet we see they're using the cover of COVID-19 as the rationale behind total control of the citizens, not only in America, but around the world. I'm looking at an article, and we're talking with one of our 4 sons today, Greg Youngblood. Greg is with us by Skype or telephone, and I'm thankful that he's taken time out of his schedule. Of course, it's probably too cold to be outside today anyway, isn't it, Greg?
Oh, my goodness. There is never a day that's too cold to be outside. There is always something to be done.
It's beautiful sunshine anyway. When it gets under 70, as you know, pop gets cold, cold, cold. But, Greg, I'm looking at an article to emphasize the fright and the fear-mongering that's used by governments around the world to control the people. Is it something that, and I'm going to read part of an article in a moment, but is it something that is happenstance? How is it possible that America and all other governments are under the same delusion, doing the same thing? Is that something that is planned, carried out by individual governments, or is it something that is a spiritual, demonically controlled aspect? But I'll read this article first. Omicron variant poses, quote, very high, end quote, global risk, unprecedented number of spike mutations, according to the World Health Organization. And yet I read an article just a moment ago. The female physician in South Africa discovered the mutation, said it is in the only 4 cases, but she said it's very mild in comparison to the original COVID. And now we hear them saying that it is a major, 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 major problem because it's very high. This article says the COVID-19 Omicron variant has an unprecedented number of spike mutations and poses a very high global risk, according to the World Health Organization. The overall global risk related to the new variant of concern, Omicron, is assessed as very high, the World Health Organization said to Reuters News. The health body said countries should make sure that there are mitigation plans in place to deal with the increase in new cases. Scientists are working to determine how effective vaccines are in preventing infections with this new variant, end quote. Greg, do you see on the horizon Pfizer, J&J, and Moderna of creating now a new vaccine that everybody's got to have because of the new variant called Omicron? Do you see it as a scare tactic? Do you feel that it is real? We know the virus is real. The pathogen is deadly. But is it something that we need to look at and be fearful of or depend on God? Should our hope be in government and in pharmaceutical houses or in God? Where do we stand on that? Where should our listeners come down on that issue?
Well, there's the reality. A lot of people want to look just at the from the worldly view. When I say from the worldly view, they want to attribute this, a lot of these things to you know, if it's an Illuminati plot or a Bohemian Grove organized plan for international dominance or United Nations, which those are a bunch of nitwits. I mean, those folks, I could go long. United Nations has been such a poor example of good leadership for many decades. Nonetheless, you know, many people want to point at, you know, George Soros. You know, it's him. Well, folks, you need to realize that none of these folks are smart enough to put together what's going on today. The battles that we see against Christendom that are on 100 different fronts simultaneously are not driven by man. It is truly still a spiritual battle. You know, we battle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness. You can open up your Bible and read and realize that we're seeing the Bible come alive today before our very eyes. Now, that's not to say we ought to just get out of the way and let everything just sweep over us, and we should just give up hope. And we should, no. As a matter of fact, as much as I believe Jesus Christ could return tomorrow, or he could call us out tomorrow, I realize that generations of the past have thought the same thing, so you must be prepared. Watch. Matter of fact, if you go to Mark chapter 13, you'll find late in the chapters, it walks through the same as Matthew chapter 24, you'll find Jesus telling his disciples what things are going to be like at the end of time and near his return. And over and over in that Matthew 13 text, it's watch. Watch. Read through. Read those last few verses, and you'll see there's a charge that we watch. So, again, don't be fearful. Realize this is part of the plan. There's still a believer's responsibility to warn. You know, the Ezekiel 33, the watchman of the wall. You know, we as believers, when you know that evil is coming, you should warn. And the ultimate, you know, evil is death and hell for the unbeliever. So warn of that. And warn of those things that you see are damaging, destructive, devastating, especially generationally. And, you know, I would like for you to look up something today. Under Wikipedia, look at mass deaths associated with communism. I think you could change the keywords up. But literally, Wikipedia is looking at extinguishing some of those stories. I mean, communism and atheism are responsible for the extinguishing of 100 million lives in the 20th century. But somehow or another, that's being watered down. Somehow or another, we're supposed to start embracing communism. Now, understand how this all fits together. During the tribulation, there will be a one-world government. It's not going to be the New World Order that's the utopian thing. It's not going to be the Great Reset that's a utopian thing or a good thing. It's going to be a devastating thing, but there will be one-world governance, one-world totalitarianism. It's coming. It's absolutely coming. And I'm not looking forward to the totalitarianism. I'm not looking forward to the one-world government. I'm looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ.
Amen. That should be our mindset. That should be our focus. That should be our hope. As the old song says, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Greg, hang on a minute. I believe we have Tom on the line. Give me the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, thank you.
Good morning. Glad to have you with us. Go ahead with your question.
I'd like to remind Dr. Fauci, if he has a mind, that December 6th was about freedom and liberty. It wasn't about control like the COVID is. They don't care about the jab. They don't care about anything about the health. It's all about control of the American people. That's all. And I wish somebody would remind Dr. Fauci that. But I think he's so caught up in his fantasy world that he wouldn't listen to you. But Dr. Youngblood, I went to church in St. Augustine at the oldest Protestant church. And to hear that go on, there's just the whole world is kumbaya. Why aren't any pastors talking about this?
Well, Tom, that's a good question, and I could answer that. I'm going to divert to Greg. Greg, answer that in your opinion. You're not a pastor, but in your opinion, why aren't pastors talking about these real life-threatening issues from our pulpits today?
Well, in the last days, we're expected to see folks with itching ears. You know, they're going to seek the pastor, they're going to seek the pulpit, they're going to seek the church that doesn't offend, doesn't speak of the blood, doesn't speak of sin, doesn't talk about the cross, but those things that they'd like to hear. You know, those encouraging messages. I was in of all things, a Methodist church in the Keys a couple of years back, and they preached, the minister preached a sermon that ended with, "Come unto me, ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He read five verses in the text, skipped five verses, and read five more verses. Thank the Lord he read what he read. However, the five verses he left off were the call to repentance. The five verses he left off were the judgment component. And it's like, folks, just share the whole word. The reality is, though, as the end times draw nearer and nearer, we will see more and more of the false teachers and false preachers. And that's to be expected. This is just the lead up to a calling away, a lifting out, a rapture. Now, I'll say this, with as far off base as many of these pastors are, I wonder if they actually be in the faith. I wonder if the day after the rapture, if it happens to be on a Saturday, I wonder how many pulpits will still have a minister in the pulpit on that next Sunday morning.
It's very good observation. And Tom, let me remind you also, when you look at it just in the line of thought that Greg was talking about, when you look at Matthew chapter 24, beginning with verse 5 and following, you find one of the first foremost signs of the last days would be that of false teachers, false preachers, false prophets that will come on the scene. And we're finding that today permeating what is called Christendom, our churches. We have those in the pulpits that may be morally good, may be good at communication skills, but are frightened to death of preaching and teaching the truth of the Word of God. They're afraid that they'll run somebody off. I call it the numbers, nickels, and noses mentality. Numbers, nickels, and noses mentality. You want to have the numbers, you want to have the pews full, the nickels, you want to have the offering plates full, and the noses, you want to make sure that you have multitudes of people always there to hear you proclaim what you're proclaiming. So, Tom, the key to it is, we've said before, we need to be alert and recognize that our hope is in God and not in government. Keep on looking up, as Luke 21:28 says, "For our redemption draweth nigh." So we keep praying. We shouldn't be deterred from doing what we know God would have us to do simply because multitudes are simply going down the wrong pathway. Tom, thank you so much for calling today. Have a blessed day as we keep looking up, because our redemption draweth nigh. Greg, we've got two or three other things for us to quickly touch on. Then I'm going to wrap up with a local issue. Here's an article that says, "Doctor calls for lockdown for the vaccinated." Now hear me. The title of this article says, "Doctor calls for the lockdown of the vaccinated." A German doctor is calling for a two-month lockdown to fight COVID-19 for all vaccinated people. A report from the Free West Media explains that the physician believes that those people are the biggest virus spreaders, i.e., the vaccinated. The Free West reported, according to the report by the WAZ, the doctor runs a family doctor's practice where he also offers tests and vaccination. From the results of his test in his own practice, for four test centers in the same area, he was able to conclude that 90% of the people, positive tested people, 90% of those that tested positive were also tested by me, were all vaccinated, end quote. Further, he said, those people, the vaccinated, think that with the vaccination, the coronavirus will no longer harm them. But that is a open, total fallacy, this doctor said, end quote. He said 2 months lockdown only for the vaccinated people should be declared by public health authorities. If these restrictions were then adhered to, the contacts reduced, and the vaccination campaign continued, the pandemic could be rapidly brought to a close, end quote. What is the truth behind, from what you know, what is the truth behind the vaccinated and what's called shedding and spreading the virus through and from the vaccinated? Is it possible that's part of the mutation that we see taking place today?
There are professionals, epidemiologists, virologists, that have said exactly that. Now, it's going to be tough to find those folks. You know, perhaps you do a DuckDuckGo search instead of a Google search because, again, they bury those things. They make them disappear from Twitter and Facebook and other social media sites. However, the fact that there are professionals that are this is an issue of concern, that these folks that are vaccinated could be spreading, could be driving the variants, and there seems to be some evidence of it, you know, considering the fact that we didn't have vaccines last year. We didn't have vaccines last year, but the numbers of mortality, you know, the rate of mortality was less last year than it is this year. But we've got 60% of the population that's supposed to be fully vaccinated this year. And country by country, as you see, 60, 70, 80, 90% vaccinated, the cases continue to be there. The spikes continue to be there. What's going on, folks? I mean, just use some common sense, but also do some homework, do some research, and I think you'll be a little. The more research I do, the more concerned I am that the vaccination is actually a component, a poisonous brew that we should be fearful of, rather than something that we should run to and embrace.
We should be. And Greg, I'm looking at an article here. If I could jump in for just a moment, let you blend that with your statement. Here's an article that says CDC funded study, a CDC funded study. COVID shots have no effect on virus transmission. The article dated November the 29th. People who are unvaccinated spread the COVID-19 Delta variant virtually the same as vaccinated people, according to the new study in a federal prison funded by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. In this investigation, we found no statistically significant difference in the transmission potential between vaccinated persons and persons who were not fully vaccinated, the research said. The researchers said their data add to a growing body of evidence characterizing the transmission potential for vaccinated people, end quote. And yet, Greg, we have major nations and people believing that somehow we should quarantine, put in re-educational camps, or in quarantine camps, those that have not been vaccinated. Looking at one set of Australia officials, we're transferring COVID-19 patients to quarantine camps. It's a pretty massive article, but the bottom line is they're transferring anybody that tests positive, transferring them to COVID camps, quarantine camps. There's a mindset that they want to do that around the world, and some have talked about it in America. In fact, one of the articles that I recently read said, just shoot them. There's a mindset that everybody that has not been COVID vaccinated just simply needs to be shot, just simply needs to be taken out of the society. The article says, get the shot or get shot. Some push mass genocide for all unvaccinated. This article is dated November the 29th. A former top attorney for President Trump is calling attention to the alarming comments urging people to get shot or get shot, and a push for everyone to receive the COVID vaccination. Quote, they're literally calling for mass genocide, said Jenna Ellis, the former senior legal advisor to Trump. And are you paying attention yet, she says. Ellis, who is a Christian, made her comments as she shared an image of a remark by someone with the username Lars Malarkey, who boldly stated the CDC should roll out a new program, get the shot or get shot. Their unvaccinated need to be rounded up and lined up in front of an open trenches. Their choice is simple. America has enough of the virus. We need to get back to normal life and without them hindering us, end quote. Greg, does that sound something like the Hitler's regime, 1938-39 through about 1945, with the mindset we need to get rid of the Jews and just line them up and shoot them, put them in concentration camps, et cetera? Do we hear something like an echo of that today?
We can reflect on a lot of things that took place in the 30s in the Weimar Republic in Germany, leading up to and including World War II, and they ought to be issues of major concern. And the follow-up to that, the Nuremberg trials and the Nuremberg Code were, number one or number two in the Nuremberg Code make it very clear that no one should ever be forced to participate in an experiment without knowing all the potential risk factors and all. Have you given informed, if you've taken the jab, have you given informed consent? Do you know all the risk? By the way, in the Journal Circulation published this week, they did an abstract dealing with mRNA varieties of these COVID vaccines, as they call them. And that the conclusion of that, the last paragraph says, we conclude that the mRNA vax dramatically increase inflammation on the endothelium and T-cell infiltration of cardiac muscle and may account for the observations of increased thrombosis, cardiomyopathy, and other vascular events following vaccination. With just that knowledge, by the way, folks, go to my Facebook page on the 28th. I posted a link to this. I know it's buried. I know Facebook doesn't want you to see it, but if you go to my page, you can find it. Click on the link, read that paper, and already physicians have come out and said, based on this one paragraph, based on this one study, we should bring a screeching halt to these mRNA versions of these therapies that they call vaccines. And I think they're right. And literally the warning bells are going off left and right if you have ears to hear them. Not telling anybody what to do medically, but I will say do your homework. Do your homework. Know what you're getting into. There's another report of soccer professionals across the world, around the world, dropping left and right. Now, a lot of these folks are in FIFA where they're being forced to get these jabs, and they're dropping with – I don't mean to laugh. That's horrible. No, they're dropping due to cardiac conditions. These are young – almost every one of these folks are male under the age of 30. And by the way, that's one of the higher risk categories when it comes based on what I've read. With the myocarditis and pericarditis results with the vaccinations. I'm concerned that Franklin Graham came out, I love the man, he came out and said that everyone, as believers, we needed to go out and get the vaccine. He's taken the vaccine, the two jabs and the follow-up jab. He was in the hospital just a few weeks ago, from what I understand, getting heart surgery based on a pericarditis condition. You go, oh, my goodness, did that right. have... I'm not saying that's had anything to do with it, but it sure did seem to come on quickly. It sure did seem to put him right in the hospital, and that's the condition he will probably deal with the rest of his life.
Absolutely. Greg, hang in there for just a moment. I believe we have Pastor Davis on the line. Give you the question or comment, please.
Yes. Good morning, Dr. Youngblood, Brother Greg.
Good morning. Good to have you with us.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I would just like to say, Dr. Youngblood, it seems like every time things begin to get a little bit better, they will blind the public again with that lie about going back to the norm. They have everyone, basically, we're still in the woods, and they're never going to let you out of the woods. Every
That's right.
single time that it seems like we begin to make a step forward with some kind of progress, in other words, i.e., things getting better, then there's going to be another variant. There's going to be another booster shot. There's going to be another vaccine. It's just going to be a continuous thing over and over, and they're going to continue to blind people, saying, go ahead and take this jab, take this new shot, take this new booster shot, because we're trying to get you back to the norm. That's never going to happen.
Brother, you're exactly right. The longer they can keep a people in consternation, chaos, calamity, and confusion, the more control they will have in the totalitarian mindset. Greg, what are your responses to Pastor Davis's statement?
Pastor Davis, I'd say you're absolutely right. And I'd add on to that, normal isn't coming back, but Jesus is. And I'd say for every believer out there, for every preacher out there, for every minister out there, for every Sunday school teacher out there, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and doctrine. We've got a charge, and our charge doesn't change because the world has lost its ever-loving mind. Matter of fact, our charge ought to be all the more vigorous, and we ought to be all the more vocal as we see the day draw near.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Pastor Davis, thank you so much for your call, for your input, your insight. Keep on looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Greg, I'm going to take couple of minutes before we close, and I want to talk about an issue that's local. Are you familiar with a statue that they want to create here in Jacksonville? It'd be a statue about 151 feet tall out of a stainless steel chrome finished statue that has LERP on it. You recall the landing downtown Talk about the scenario if you're familiar with the history of that. We spent millions of dollars buying out the contract on a businessman in the town, city. We spent millions in demolishing that and clearing the land. And we've spent millions now in the research on it. And they've decided that, I think they've fully decided that it's going to be built, 151-foot statue. And in that 151-foot statue, there would be the LERP in stainless steel. What does that mean, and why should we tear down our heritage monuments and build a stainless steel statue in the center of the city?
Well, you know, a lot of these folks, these bureaucrats and politicians, they travel all over the world. They go to other places and they go, oh, this is so beautiful. We ought to do this. You know, they've got the, you know, Chicago Cloud Gate, you know, the big reflective monument or statue, whatever, there in Chicago. And, you know, somebody, I'm sure, a lot of these politicians have traveled on our dime and gone to places like that. And go, we ought to have something like that. So they contract to have this design come out, and it's supposed to be a great big, huge, 150-foot high Jax, J-A-X. But doesn't look anything like Jax, and everybody's made fun of it online. I looked at it, I'm going, that says LERP, L-E-R-P. So literally, they couldn't even get the strokes right to make it look like Jax. But the more interesting issue is the fact that the city of Jacksonville does not know how to deal with land. I mean, the city ought to have whatever land is necessary to operate government. And, you know, if you want to have some parks or whatever, they have the largest park system in the world, I believe, of any city. And they always want to add a little more and add a little more and add a little more in the way to land held by, owned by the city of Jacksonville. I got news for you, folks. The more land they hold, the more land comes off the tax rolls, and the more taxes you have to pay to carry that burden. And by the way, you have a lot of six-figure salaried individuals that will manage that land for you. And they won't manage it as well as you will. And the tax rate, I mean, years ago we had that debate in the city of Jacksonville. Let's get government off the waterfront. And what have they done? Every step they've taken since then is seems to have more involvement on the waterfront, spend more money, tax money on the waterfront. Billions of dollars spent downtown and on the waterfront, and we always get the short end of the deal. It's really sad.
Absolutely. Greg, it goes back to our thesis and theme for today. Our hope is not in government, but in God. That's where it ought to be. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issue.
Pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and President of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m. for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them, 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.